Here's the reality. God does not need us. But what a blessing that the God who does not need us loves us and went to such incredible cost to save us.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Expectant parents sometimes throw a reveal party to announce to friends and family the sex of their soon-coming child. Perhaps you're familiar with that. But in this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant will speak on the greatest reveal of all time. Those predictions of the prophets that foretold, in detail, exactly what the coming Christ child would be like. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings his message, The Big Reveal, Part 1.
Gender reveal parties are getting common today. And some are simple, some are extravagant. I read about in the newspaper about a gender reveal party, where they spent over $300,000. Did you hear what I said? $300,000 for a gender reveal party. I hope they didn't spend the child's entire inheritance. Well, a few months before the birth of their first child, one of our sons and his wife, and I won't tell you who it is, I'm sure you'll be able to figure it out eventually, but one of our sons and his wife had a small gender reveal party at our home. My daughter Lauren had obtained the information about the child's gender, and she made some cupcakes for the party. And when the cake was cut, it revealed a pink inside, indicating a girl was on the way. Well, a few years later, when the second baby was about to arrive, they planned another gender reveal party. This time, they went to a little more trouble. The day before the party, the doctor wrote the baby's sex on a piece of paper, sealed the paper in an envelope. They took the envelope to their next door neighbor. The next door neighbor went to the pharmacy and bought a cannon, a confetti cannon. Didn't even know there were confetti cannons until then. Bought a confetti cannon with the appropriate color on the inside. Well, later that evening, everybody came over to our home to see what the cannon would reveal. The cannon exploded, smoke came out, and everyone started telling David and Tiffany how sorry they were. Have you figured out who it was? I was totally mystified because I couldn't figure why they assumed it was another girl, because I was waiting for colored streamers or something to come out. Little did I realize that the fact it was pink smoke actually meant something. You see how slow I am. Well, all I can say is that since then I've been trying to encourage them to go for number three. I hear an amen in the crowd. So Dave, you hear some amen here. But they're both so thankful for their two girls. It seems that the chapter may be closed. Unless, and Tiffany's in the nursery. Tiffany, probably you hear me. Unless some of you all join us in prayer. Amen. Gender reveal parties are very popular, but they can only reveal one thing. They can only reveal if the baby is going to be a boy or a girl. They can only reveal the gender of the baby. Now, I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Isn't it amazing that in a world where they're telling us there are over 100 genders, every gender reveal party has only revealed a boy or girl? By the way, since I'm at it, I may as well get in more trouble. Do you know that there are folks trying to stop gender reveal parties? What gender reveal parties are revealing is not what they think should be revealed. So there are some trying to stop gender reveal parties because so far they're only revealing males and females. Well, let me get to the message. All a gender reveal party can reveal is the gender of a child. But hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God revealed more than 300 prophecies about Jesus that have already been fulfilled. Did you hear what I'm telling you? Over 300 prophecies regarding Jesus have already been fulfilled. And so today, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, I'm using as my theme the big reveal. Amen? The big reveal. The fact that over 300 prophecies about Jesus have already been fulfilled should have satisfied every critic that Jesus is indeed God manifested in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
But despite this incontrovertible evidence, many still regard Jesus as just another prophet or teacher. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody here this morning and you regard Jesus as just another teacher. Listen, 300 fulfilled prophecies ought to say something to us. Amen?
Amen.
Why is this so? Why do people just say he's just another prophet? Let me put a verse of scripture on the screen for you. I'm going to put a verse here from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. And here's what the Bible says. And for those of you who are visiting us, just know there's an insert in the bulletin that you may be able to take notes as we go along. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Here's what it says. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Write this down. Write this down in your notes. The reason people reject the gospel of salvation is because the God of this age, by the way, in case you thought that God of this age or the God of this world is God Almighty, no. The Bible is referring to Satan. Listen, the reason people reject the gospel of salvation is because of the God of this age, Satan, has blinded their eyes. Has Satan been succeeding in blinding your eyes? If so, I pray that today, whether you're here listening or you're listening on the radio or whether you're watching on TV, on the internet, I pray that no matter where you're listening, that the Spirit of God might penetrate the blindness and today you'll come to see beauty in Jesus. Let me share with you this morning three aspects of God's big reveal about Jesus. Just three. I could have given you 300, but some of you would be unhappy if I decided to go for all 300. So I hope you don't mind if I just go for three. Here's the first thing to put in your notes. First big reveal. God revealed that Jesus would be conceived by a virgin. God revealed that Jesus would be conceived by a virgin. If you look with me in the book of Isaiah, go with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 7. Just one verse there in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. And here's what the word of God tells us there. Here's what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive a bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Listen, folks, this verse was not added later on after Jesus was born. This was a scripture in the Old Testament long before Jesus was born, that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. I was not great at biology, but I believe they said that in order to have a baby, a woman needs to have a male involved. Am I right about that? One thing I know for sure is that those three kids that my wife has, I was very involved. Amen?
Amen.
But in this text, written, listen good, this text was written 700 years before Jesus was born. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would have a son. This is humanly impossible, but there's nothing too hard for God. And I want my young folks to pay attention, because you're growing up in a world that says that this is a ridiculous story. But I want you never to miss that there is nothing too hard for God. Amen. If he is God, by definition, it means that all authority is given to him. He can do whatever he chooses, whenever, however. Amen. And there is nothing too hard for our God. And way back then, Isaiah prophesied that the impossible would happen. A virgin would have a son. And in Matthew 1, which was just read in our hearing, God fulfilled that amazing prophecy. So jump now back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18, where the Word of God tells us that now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. They had not come together. They were betrothed, but the actual marriage ceremony had not taken place. They had not had sex. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Jump down to verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So add that to your notes. The name Emmanuel means what? God with us. God came down to where we were to lift us up to where he is. Amen? That's something to shout about. Amen? God came down to our level to lift us up to where he is. I can hardly imagine, though. Can we be real? Just put yourself in Joseph's boat. Mary was pregnant, and he knew he had not touched her. Guys, if you were Joseph, what would you have assumed? Come on now. I hear at least one brother agreeing with me by his laughter. Amen. Come on now. Are you going by her story?
No.
Oh, nobody has touched me. No. What? What's going on here? No man has touched you. Joseph was not a happy camper and was considering his options. And Jewish law actually gave him two options, in case you didn't realize this. The Jewish law said, if your betrothed wife, we have the marriage ceremony has happened and she's pregnant, you have two options. You can either have her stoned to death. Don't say that. We didn't make that up. It's in the Old Testament, okay? Under Old Testament law, you realize under Old Testament law, the man was king. A woman had to walk behind the man. Aren't you glad that in Jesus there's a level playing field? We're all one in Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. Man had to walk a few paces behind. Could do whatever he jolly well wanted. He could stone her to death. I wonder if they stoned him to death. The guy who did it. Anyway, that's another message. He could have her either stoned to death or sent to a place far, far, far away. And Joseph had just decided he was going to send her far, far away when he was visited by the angel Gabriel. And look what Gabriel said to him in Matthew 1, verse 19. The angel Gabriel said, Joseph, her husband, was his verse as being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly, to send her far away. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their what? Sins. The angel told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, because she had experienced the miracle of the ages. She had gotten pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, God had fulfilled the promise he made over 700 years earlier that a virgin would conceive and deliver a son. God always fulfills his promises. Amen. So, church, why was he to be called Jesus? Anybody can help me with that? Why was he to be called Jesus according to the text? For what? He will save his people from their sins. I wonder if I have any testimonies in here today of people who can say, is there any testimonies in the house of those who can say, Jesus saved me from sin? Amen. Praise God, Jesus saved me. In my case, I was just a little 9-year-old boy. You know, he saves kids, he saves young people, he saves adults. Hallelujah. But Jesus saved me from my sin. And he can save you today if you will open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The big reveal, the first thing God revealed, that Jesus would be conceived by a virgin. The second big reveal, God revealed that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And just to make sure you don't think I'm making up all of this stuff, turn to the book of Micah. Turn to the book of Micah. And you may need, some of you who are not familiar with your Bible, you better start buying those with a little tab so you can find it easier. Micah chapter 5, because we actually don't like you bring your Bibles, you know. Don't be afraid to bring your, you know, most churches that don't bother with a Bible, but don't be afraid to bring your Bible to GCA, because the preachers here, we want to make sure you check us out, because we don't want to be making it up as we go along. Amen. You need to check us out to make sure it's in your Bible too, lest I have a funny Bible. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. Here's what it says. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are what? Little. Among the thousands of other places, other cities and towns, there are thousands, but you're just a tiny little one. Put this down. This was 735 BC. In 735 BC, God inspired Micah to make this amazing prophecy. There are three important things God revealed in this prophecy that I don't want you to miss. Here's the first one that you may want to write down. Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. Second, Jesus will one day rule Israel. And let me just give you, as I was preparing this message, it was supposed to be only a one and off. And then the Lord said, no, next week you're going to come back with the big reveal part two. Amen. Because there's a whole lot more we got to talk about. And next week we want to focus very heavily on the second coming of Christ. Things that the Bible has already told us about what's going to happen at the end of the world. You're going to hear all that. At his second coming, he will rule for 1,000 years on earth. The Bible has already told us that. Here's the third thing the Bible is pointing out. That Jesus always existed. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Psalm 90 verse 1 states, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, write this down, was not his beginning, but his incarnation. That's a nice big word. It was not his beginning, but his incarnation. What does that word mean, incarnation? That's when he took on the flesh of a human body. But why did God pick Bethlehem? Come on now. You ever thought about that? Why Bethlehem? The text just told you it's an insignificant town. It wasn't much of a town. Neither was Nazareth. And remember now, Mary got pregnant in Nazareth, right? She got pregnant in Nazareth. And Nazareth had such a low reputation. You remember in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 46, Nathanael asked this question. Some of you can remember what. Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Whoa. Whoa. You can put that in your context. I wouldn't want to suggest any place, because if you live there, you're going to say, what is he saying about my hometown? But this is what they felt about Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? And here is Jesus. He's going to get a girl in Nazareth pregnant. The hick town. The place where nothing good can come from. And then she's going to be born in Bethlehem. No man's land. Isn't that how God works? You see, God is not looking for the big and important. You know, sometimes we think God needs. Sometimes it's so crazy when sometimes people want you to go and target somebody because of how intelligent or important they figure. You need to make sure you reach that one for Jesus. God does not need anybody, no matter how powerful or how much you've got. Because the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. And every single one of us matter to him. No one matters more than the other. Your resume. You know, that's what keeps a lot of people unsaved, you know. They have such a good resume. They figure, oh, I don't need God. Here's the reality. God does not need us. But what a blessing that the God who does not need us loves us and went to such incredible cost to save us. And my friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, it's time to stop fooling around and it's time to surrender to this Savior. Amen. So why did God pick Bethlehem? You know, God is clearly not impressed by wealth and social status. Amen? Amen. His free salvation is available to the rich and the poor. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 is a verse I want to just put on the screen for you. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, that so no one can boast. No one would be able to walk around heaven bragging about what they did to get in. Amen? We can only get there by the grace of God. Jesus did it. Are you ready for heaven? Do you have a reservation for heaven? Is your name written in heaven? About 700 years earlier, God had declared that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But how would he pull that off? Mary was living in Nazareth, and there's no way that 9-month pregnant Mary would volunteer to go to Bethlehem on a 9-day donkey ride on rough and rocky terrain. You ever stop to think about that? You know, it wasn't like today when you got your Lexus or your smooth riding car. Are you with me? They didn't have no paved roads. And I understand not only was it rocky and would have taken about 9 days, but they say back then, lions and other dangerous animals roamed that area. Why in the world would Mary want to pick up her 9-month pregnant self to show up in Bethlehem? My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.